Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord.
Amen.
We turn our hearts fully to you.
Amen.
We tell you we'd like to open to you without reservation.
Amen.
Shine in us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, we just treasure the inner shining.
Amen.
Grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Lighten the eyes of our heart.
Amen.
Show us yourself as the threefold seed in humanity.
Amen.
How we need to see you, Lord. How we need to know you.
Amen.
Pray we would see you as this threefold seed.
Amen.
Pray we would know you in this way.
Amen.
Pray we would gain you and enjoy you to the uttermost.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you, Lord.
Amen.
Give this session to you.
Amen.
Speak to us again, Lord.
Amen.
Speak to us for the sake of your building.
Amen.
Building of your body, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, and use this meeting to hasten your coming. Prepare us more to be your bride, Lord.
Amen.
Well, saints, we come to Roman numeral 2, and now we're going to see the threefold seed in humanity in detail. And in Roman numeral 2, you can see it says, I'm so happy I can make my brother happy over here who was waiting for the outline. Where is that brother? Brother, what's your name again? Jonah, we met before, right?
Yeah.
You're happy now, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Jonah, I was thinking when you said that really meant that you needed those 15 points. What do you think? What do you think? Am I right?
Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. I need them too. We're in the same boat. I need them too. Okay. Okay, now let's look at this. Roman numeral 2. Christ as the seed of the woman refers to the incarnated Christ, the complete God who became a perfect man through the dispensing of himself into humanity, and the one who destroyed Satan to save the believers in Christ from sin and death. Isn't that wonderful? So see, this goes back all the way to Genesis 3:15. When the Lord, of course the serpent deceived Eve and Adam, and they partook of the wrong tree. And so Satan, as sin, got into them, and they were, oh my goodness, they just became a constitution of sin and death. So what God did was he came in and preached the gospel to them. So the first preaching of the gospel is in Genesis 3:15. And in Genesis 3:15, the Lord says this. He says, I will put enmity. He told the serpent this, actually. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head.
Amen.
That is Christ. Christ, when he died on the cross, he's the seed of the woman. He bruised Satan on the head.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, but you will bruise him on the heel, which means, by nailing his feet to the cross, he got bruised on the heel. But on the cross, he destroyed the devil, and he bruised the devil on the head.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Okay, now under here it says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. This is Galatians. Born of a woman for our judicial redemption. This is Galatians 4:4-6. Then God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, the transfiguration of His Son, to sonize us for our organic salvation.
Amen.
So, saints, we have a threefold seed, and we have three aspects of this threefold seed. We have the individual aspect, we have the transfigured aspect, and we have the corporate aspect. On the one hand, the Lord is the individual seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, and the seed of David. But he fell into the ground and died, and he came up in resurrection, and we read this portion. He was transfigured in resurrection, right? He was pneumatized. He became the life-giving spirit. So as the seed, he became the transfigured seed of the woman. He is the transfigured descendant of the woman. And this woman here refers to Eve. It also refers to Mary. And we will see this woman here in Revelation also refers to all the people of God throughout all the ages to bring forth the man-child. But there is a transfigured aspect. I always wondered, and we'll come to this, but I remember when I read the Bible, I always wondered, Christ is the seed of Abraham. How can we become the sons of Abraham? How can that happen? Well, the reason why, and then it says we are the seed of Abraham. Not only is Christ the seed of Abraham, but we are the seed of Abraham. The reason why that happened is because in resurrection he was transfigured, and he became a transfigured descendant of Abraham. He was You know, when you put a seed into the ground, it comes up in a different form, right? It's transfigured, and it has a different body. Like you put a grain of wheat into the ground, it comes up as a stalk, S-T-A-L-K, of wheat. And it's transfigured in its form. Well, Christ became the life-giving Spirit. And now He is in our spirit, and so we become the corporate seed of the woman. It's really wonderful. We'll see this. So, He's sonizing us for our organic salvation. Now, B says, the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the transfigured descendant of the woman, dispensed into us to bruise the serpent's head in us. Amen. We have a hymn in our hymnal written by Charles Wesley, and there's a line in there that says, bruise in me, or bruise in us, the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, right? And so we want Adam's likeness wiped out of our being, and we want Satan's head bruised in our being. So we need to pray this prayer, Lord, bruise in me the serpent's head. Yes, the serpent's head was bruised on the cross once for all. But here we are in time, and we need the enemy's head to be bruised in us every day. Right? We don't want to have anything to do with anything of the enemy. So He was dispensed into us to bruise the serpent's head in us and to make us the corporate seed of the woman, the overcoming man-child, to carry out God's judgment on the ancient serpent and to be God's dispensational instrument to change the age and usher in the manifestation of the kingdom. So, He comes into us. He makes us the corporate seed of the woman. He makes us the overcoming man-child. You see, if you go to Revelation 12, there is a woman there, and she's clothed with the sun. She has the moon underneath her feet. She has on her head a crown of stars, which signifies the patriarchs. And then the sun signifies the saints in the New Testament age. And the moon signifies the saints in the Old Testament age. So this woman signifies all the people of God. All the people of God are light bearers. And all of God's children, as this corporate woman, as this bright woman, are groaning to bring forth a man-child. And this man-child in Revelation 12:5, the principle of the man-child is this man-child is a group of overcomers that will bring the Lord back. And we want to be this corporate man-child, this dispensational instrument that changes the age and brings in the age of the kingdom. Okay, now we come to the next point, and this says, see, the Lord, as the leading overcomer, is the head, center, reality, life, and nature of the man-child, and the man-child, as the following overcomers, is the Lord's body. So you have the Lord as the head, and you have the overcomers as the Lord's body. And we want to be this overcoming man-child. So again, saints, we need to turn these things into prayer. We need to pray, Lord, be my head today. I want You to be my head. Head me up. Lord, be my center. Is the Lord Your center today? Sometimes, a lot of times, we're self-centered, right? We're centered on ourselves, or we're centered on things other than Christ. We need to pray, Lord, be my center today. I want You to be the center of my life, the center of my being. Be my head, be my center, be my life, be my nature, be my reality, be my everything today. So we need to turn this into prayer. You know, and saints, with the man-child, again, this bright woman signifying all the people of God, It says she brings forth a man-child. Now, this man-child is a part of the woman. You know, just like when a child is born, that child is a part of the woman who's bearing that child, right? So, if we are going to be the overcoming man-child, we need to assume the proper position of a woman in the sight of the Lord. In other words, we need to be like the Lord's wife. You see, regretfully, a lot of the Lord's children, they don't assume that position. You see what I mean? Regretfully, but we want to be overcomers. An overcomer is just to be a normal Christian. A normal Christian. And a normal Christian takes Christ as his head, center, life, reality, nature, person, everything, and all in all. And so we want to be this kind of person, so we have to assume the position of a woman. Now what that means is when we do that, that means we trust in God. We trust in God. We depend on God. We rely on God for everything. And we consult with Him in everything. We take Him as our source. And we tell Him, Lord, apart from You, I can't do anything. Apart from You, I am totally helpless. Totally helpless. I need You to be everything to me and to do everything in me, through me, and for me. So we need to depend on Him, consult with Him, lean on Him in everything. Saints, I say again, talk to the Lord. Be sincere with the Lord. Talk to Him. Consult with Him. Lean on Him in everything. Don't make any decision apart from Him. He is our husband. He is our husband. You know, I'm sorry, I always use this example, but I want to get a point across when I use this example. I mean, just consider, you know, I mean, they have those vacuum cleaners, you know, that do all kind of stuff, right? I don't know what they do. They clean the air while you vacuum, and some of the, you know, and these people, they come door to door to sell vacuum cleaners, and some of them can be worth a lot of money, right? I don't know. I'm not into stuff like that. But I think, how much could one of them be worth? How much is a Kirby? Wow, $1,000 for a vacuum cleaner. Can you imagine? Whew, man. And some of them can probably be $2,000. Right? You vacuum and they clean the air and they do the dishes and everything. And, you know, just crazy. Crazy. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if I came home from work and Ruthie said to me, Ed, look, I bought a vacuum cleaner for $2,000. Isn't this wonderful? Do you think I would say, yeah, that's wonderful. $2,000 right out of our bank account into a vacuum cleaner. You know, the point isn't whether to buy the vacuum cleaner. The point is because we love one another, she's the wife, I'm the husband, she would consult with me before she did that, right? When the same way, we should consult with the Lord. Saints, I mean this in a very practical way. When you buy a car, talk to the Lord about it. You know, you might buy a car, you get online and you're looking for a car, you're looking for a used car, and you're not talking to the Lord. You say, Lord Jesus, I want You to be in this decision. I want to talk to the Lord about every detail of my life. Every detail. The courses I take, you're taking a course. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about your major. Talk to the Lord about your future. Talk to the Lord about, should I go to graduate school? Talk to the Lord, Lord, what about this? Should I go to the full-time training? What do You think, Lord? Don't hide anything from the Lord. You see what I'm saying? I tell you, if we don't talk to the Lord and we don't open to the Lord, the areas that we don't open to the Lord will become big regrets to us. And we don't want that to happen. So talk to the Lord about everything. Now one, it says the way to become the man-child is for us to be daily strengthened into our inner man. We talked about this. To be empowered to experience the riches of Christ and to be strong through putting on the all-inclusive Christ as the armor, taking the Word by means of all prayer. So saints, we need to, when we talk about pray, reading the Word, taking the Word by means of all prayer, First of all, in Ephesians 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And then Paul talks about all the armor of God that's for the body. And then he says, receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer. That means all kinds of prayer. You see? So we need to have all kinds of prayer with the Word. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in your mind. What does it say? Praying at every time where?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit, right? With all perseverance and petition. Listen to this. Concerning all the saints. Have you ever considered that you need to pray, read the Word for the saints? Concerning the saints. That means you're praying over the Word and you pray this verse for a saint. You pray this verse for a saint. It's like, blessed are the pure in heart. You say, Lord, make me pure in heart. Oh, Lord, I'm so impure. I want you to be my only goal. Then the Lord might touch you to pray for another brother or another sister. And you pray for them. Lord, make brother so-and-so pure in heart. You see, this is to take the Word by means of all prayer. Or you might come to a verse like, let's say, in Psalm 73, where I was just sharing with Brother Andrew about this verse. This verse says, whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Now, when Watchman Nee first read that verse, he stopped and he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Lord, I desire a lot of things other than you on this earth. Watchman Nee said he had to stop. He had to stop because he realized he had other desires. Listen, saints, that is praying over the Word. You see, that is praying over the Word. When you come to a verse like that, whom do I have in heaven but you? In your personal time. Are you with me? Whom do I have in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. You might say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. There are so many things I desire apart from you. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, this verse is not my reality. Make this verse my reality. You see, oh Lord Jesus, whom do I have in heaven but you? And apart from you, oh Lord, apart from you, I desire nothing on earth. Guide me into this reality, Lord Jesus. You see, this is praying over the Word. Then don't you think the Lord's going to say amen when you pray a prayer like that? He'll say amen. Ed, I'm the Spirit of reality, and one of my functions in John 16 is to guide you into all the reality. You see, that's one of the functions of the Spirit, is to guide you into all the reality. So pray over the Word. Pray sincere prayers. Personalize the Word. You see, personalize it. Talk to the Lord with the Word. So we take the Word by means of all prayer. When praying is the way to apply all the armor. We get the shield of faith to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. We receive the helmet of salvation when we pray over the Word. I wrote this down. You have all of Satan's flaming darts. And what are some of his darts? They're temptations. He has temptations. He has proposals. He comes with doubts. He comes with questions. He comes with lies. He comes with attacks. What should we do? We have to pray. We have to pray over the Word. We have to pray to be strengthened into the inner man. And we need to be empowered to experience all the riches of Christ and put on Christ as the armor, taking the Word by means of all prayer. And how about the helmet of salvation? You know, Satan tries to inject threats into us. He tries to inject worries into us. He tries to inject anxieties into us. Listen, right now, if there's an anxiety in your mind, you need the helmet of salvation. You need Christ as the helmet of salvation. And weakening thoughts, thoughts that weaken you. You see, that weaken your enjoyment of Christ. This is all from the enemy. This is why we have to pray, read the Word. Pray, read the Word. Okay, 2. The spontaneous life power of Christ as the life seed bruises the serpent's head in us as we employ the blood of the Lamb. We speak forth the word of our testimony, and we love not our soul life even unto death. Isn't that wonderful? So this is the way we overcome the enemy. We overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We have the blood of the Lamb to answer all the accusations of the enemy. You know, the enemy, in Revelation 12, it says that his job is to accuse. Can you imagine what a terrible job description? Here's my job description. I'm going to accuse you day and night. Even while you're sleeping, Satan is accusing us because he wants to weaken us. Well, how do we overcome him? We overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And the blood of the Lamb answers all of his accusations. But also, saints, we need to confess our sins, right? 1 John 1:7 says, his blood cleanses us from every sin, right? Then 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So, saints, we need to confess our sins to the Lord. Every day, I like to ask you, don't you need to confess your sins every day?
Amen.
Every day, we need to take a sin offering shower in the Lord. And we need the Lord's cleansing blood applied to us every day. So every day, you know, get in the light, and in the Lord's light, when the Lord shines on you, shines on a sin, confess your sins, and the blood of Christ will be applied to your being. And then, don't take any of Satan's accusations. The blood answers all of his accusations. And then we need to speak forth the word of our testimony. What does that mean? That means we need to declare the divine facts. What are the divine facts? What is the truth? The truth is apart from your feeling. You see, here's a fact. Let me give you a fact. Do you want a fact from the Bible?
Amen.
This is the word of our testimony. Here's a fact. The fact is this. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Can we say that together?
Jesus is Lord.
That's a fact. You need to say that every day. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Satan comes to bother you, you say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Let's say that again.
Jesus is Lord.
You see, that's a great fact we need to declare every day. And when we say Lord Jesus, we're declaring that Jesus is Lord. So this is the word of our testimony. Not just that Jesus is Lord, but all the words in the Bible, all the facts in the Bible, regardless of how we feel, we have to stand with the divine facts. With the divine facts. And we need to love not our soul life even unto death. Even unto death. That means we follow the Lord. You know, the Lord may want us to go a certain direction, but we may not want to go that direction. You know what I'm saying? In ourself, we may, like for instance, this conference. I don't know how many of you, if there was anybody in this room that said, I don't know whether I should go to the conference or not. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you thought that. But it was probably a struggle for a lot of us to get here. I think we all struggled to get here. I struggled to get here. I'm glad I'm here. You know, I took a 5-hour plane ride to get here. And, you know, and planes are not made for me. You know, they just are not, you know, the advantage of being big is over for me. I mean, it's just the only thing that I'm good for is helping people with their luggage on the top rack. You know? But, okay, where was I? Not loving your soul life. You see, the Lord wants us to do things that we might not want to do. You know, I used to just love traveling. Some people love to travel. Well, the Lord, if you love to travel, He might limit you. He might limit you. You love to travel so much, that's your preference. I want you to stay here. I want you to stay. I want you to remain here. I want you to be with the saints. I want you. And then He might want you to travel just in a limited way. You see what I mean? Something that goes against your soul life. It goes against your soul life. Or maybe you don't want to travel. Maybe you like to stay at home. So what does He do? He puts you in a small seat, and for 5 hours, welcome to the torture chamber. You know what I mean? And then you go, you know what? You understand what I'm saying? Andrew, right? Yeah. You and me. You and me are the same. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, it's against our soul life. We shouldn't love our soul life. We love Him. We follow Him. Don't love your soul life, even unto death. Listen, the more you love the Lord, the more you'll hate yourself. The self, you know, which is the embodiment of Satan. All right, now let's come to the seed of Abraham. Romans number 3 says, Christ as the seed of Abraham is for the blessing to all the families of the earth. As the last Adam, the unique seed of Abraham became the life-giving spirit. Saints, I just love what the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12, and I hope this would be our prayer. You know what He said to Abraham? He said, Abraham, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. And I hope we would pray this. Lord, bless me. Bless me and make me a blessing. If you're in New York City, you should say, Lord, bless me with Yourself as the Spirit and make me a blessing to the church in New York City. How about that? Where are the saints in New York? Raise your hand. Okay, wow, look at that. Praise the Lord for New York City. Amen. Praise the Lord for Jared back there. Hallelujah. So good to see you, brother. We need to pray, Lord, bless me, Lord Jesus. Bless me. And what is the blessing? The blessing is Christ as the all-inclusive Spirit. Bless me and make me a channel of blessing to the church in Dunloring. Bless me. We have a lot of churches represented here. Bless me and make me a blessing to all the churches on this earth. The Lord will answer that prayer. It's a great thing to pray prayers like that. You pray a prayer like that when you're a young person. You believe me, that can change the whole direction of your life. Lord, bless me and make me a blessing. Okay, now A says, the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the transfigured descendant of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, dispensed into us to make us the sons of Abraham. You see, He's the transfigured descendant of Abraham. He was transfigured to be the life-giving Spirit, so He dispensed Himself into us, and now we are the sons of Abraham. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. He was born of a woman. He came into Abraham's lineage. He was a son of Abraham, right? Then in resurrection, He became a transfigured descendant of Abraham. Then He got dispensed into us. And now we are the descendants of Abraham. It's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. I just love that. So we are the sons of Abraham. We're the corporate seed of Abraham. And we're those who can receive and inherit the consummated Spirit as the blessing of Abraham. Now one says, the physical aspect of the blessing that God promised to Abraham was the good land, which is a type of the all-inclusive Christ as the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. Then two says, Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the blessing of Abraham. This is Galatians 3:14. The reality of both the seed of Abraham and the good land promised to Abraham. Now listen to this. Christ is not only the seed of Abraham, He is the good land promised to Abraham. You gotta really get out of your mind to see this, okay? You have to exercise your spirit to see this. Only the seed of Abraham can inherit the promises to Abraham, right? So Christ is the seed of Abraham. He got dispensed into us. Now we are the sons of Abraham, so we can inherit all the promises made to Abraham, right? In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what was one of the things that was promised to the seed of Abraham? Was the good land, right? And so we can receive Christ as the reality of the good land, and Christ as the reality of the good land is the all-inclusive, life-giving, sevenfold, intensified Spirit. So He is not just the seed. You see, the fact that He dispensed Himself into us as the seed of Abraham gives us the right to enjoy Him as the good land. That is spectacular. It's spectacular. So He's the reality of both the seed of Abraham and the good land promised Abraham. Our blessing today is God Himself, who is embodied in Christ and realized as the Spirit to be dispensed into us for our enjoyment. So our blessing is God Himself. God Himself. Saints, I always like, I just love Numbers chapter 6 so much. Numbers chapter 6. At the end of Numbers 6, it shares what the priest, that the priest's job, and all of us are priests. You realize you're a priest, right? You realize that. If you're at Boston College, you can tell people, I'm a priest. I think Boston College is a Catholic school, if I'm not mistaken. You know, one time when I was a lot younger, and I was maybe a little bit, well, maybe I was too much. But anyway, I was young. I was just saved. I was on fire for the Lord. I used to go to downtown Houston to preach the gospel. You know, I'd pray. And I'd go, this was just before I came to the church. And so I saw this man. He looked so troubled. And we were near a Catholic cathedral. And I said, sir, what's wrong? He said, I'm so troubled. I need to see a priest. I said, here I am. And so you know, I fellowshiped with him. It was really good, really good. Very, very good. It's true, and it was true. I was a priest. He might have gone in there and saw a guy with a white car who wasn't a priest. You understand what I mean? And maybe he's a priest, maybe he's not a priest. You know, a priest is someone who's born again. When you have Christ in you, you automatically become a priest. So, at the end of number 6, the priest's job was to bless people with the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. So at the end of number 6, God instructed the priest. He said, this is the way I want you to bless my people. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In other words, bless my people this way. Jehovah bless you and keep you. That's to bless them with the divine dispensing of God the Father. Bless you with His presence. Keep you from the evil one, right? We need to be kept from the evil one. Jehovah keep you from the evil one. And Jehovah keep me in my spirit.
Amen.
And keep me in the divine dispensing. And then Jehovah make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. What is that? That's the blessing of the dispensing of God the Son. Jehovah make His face. Don't you want His face to shine on you? Oh, His face is in our spirit. Lord, shine on us. Right? Lord, make Your face shine on us and be gracious to us. That is the grace of Christ. Jehovah bless you and keep you is the love of God. Jehovah make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you is the grace of Christ. Right? And Jehovah lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That is 2 Corinthians 13:14. And number 6, 22 through 27, they go together. Jehovah lift up His countenance upon you. What is that? That means Jehovah, you know, if I lift up my countenance upon you, that means I'm happy with you, right? If you're looking at me, brother, what is your name?
Titus.
Titus, okay. Titus, if you're looking at me and I'm like this, right? You know, man, what's wrong with Ed? There's something wrong between Ed and I. Or let's say I'm sharing here, and you're like this. I would go, oh, Lord, what's wrong with Titus? Right? But you're not like that. You're like this. You're like, your countenance is lifted up. Honestly, your countenance is lifted up upon me. It's been lifted up the whole time. Keep it that way, brother. And I'm so happy. That means a lot. You see, when the Lord's countenance is lifted up upon us, that means we have His smile. We have His eyes. You see, when you have His eyes, you have His presence. When you have His smile, you have His presence. You have His approval. You see, Jehovah lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Isn't that wonderful? So we need to be blessed with the triune God in that way. And then we need to be channels of blessing to bless others with the triune God in that way. But to do that, we need a particular kind of consecration. And that consecration is at the beginning of number 6 in the first 8 or 9 verses. And that is a Nazarite consecration. A Nazarite consecration. And in that Nazarite consecration, you know, I can't get into all the details, but we need to be separated from certain things. And there's actually four things we need to be separated from. Well, it's okay. I'll just give them to you. First thing is this. We need to be separated, and I'll say this and say it a little bit more detail. Okay, we need to be separated from everything of our natural man, including our natural affection, our natural ability, our natural strength, our natural wisdom, everything of our natural man. We need to pray, Lord, I like to separate myself unto you from everything of my natural man, my natural ability, my natural affection, my natural wisdom, my natural strength, my natural cleverness. And Lord, I like to be a person, make me a person who lives by the Spirit, who walks by the Spirit, and who ministers the Spirit. That is a particular kind of consecration. Then we need to be separated from worldly pleasure. From worldly pleasure. There's a lot of pleasures out there in the world. I'm so grateful. Saints, it is a great thing for you to come here. This is Saturday, right? What are you doing here on Saturday? Think about it. It's a great thing that you're here on Saturday. That means you separated yourself from worldly pleasures. Why? Because you want God to be your pleasure. You want God to be your enjoyment. So every day we should say, Lord, I separate myself unto you from worldly pleasure. I want you to be my pure enjoyment. I want to enjoy you to the uttermost today, Lord. You see, we need that kind of consecration. Consecrate yourself every day to enjoy the Lord. To enjoy the Lord. I tell you, you're a real overcomer if you're from New York and you come here this weekend. I know the World Series is going on and everybody in New York is doing cartwheels and but here you guys are. I don't know, the sisters probably don't care about things like that, you know. But anyway, it's such a testimony. Listen. This is the real, that's right, Philadelphia. I forgot. See, I don't know. Philadelphia, my goodness. Phil's here, Emmanuel's here. They just love the Lord. They're separated to enjoy the Lord. But they'd probably like to see the Phillies win. You know, it's okay. You know, but they, hey, what about this? Is this the new man or what? Yeah. We got the Yankees and the Phillies loving one another. Yeah. Hallelujah. That is the new man. I just thought of that. I mean, it's great. It's great. And we are here separated, because we want to enjoy the Lord. We're not here for worldly enjoyment. We're here to enjoy. Nothing's higher than Jared, nothing's higher than enjoying the Lord, right? If you enjoy the Lord one time, you are wrecked. You're wrecked for life. Listen, when we take care of the young people, get them, somehow pray that they touch the Lord. At least once they can touch the Lord. If they touch the Lord, that they will never forget that. They will never forget that. You know, again, forgive me for being redundant for those of you who know me, but there's a lot of new ones here who don't. But I still remember when I got saved, I just began to love the Lord and enjoy the Lord. I didn't have the term enjoy the Lord, you know, but I did enjoy the Lord. And I had just an insatiable hunger for the Word. I just wanted to read the Bible. And one day it was Friday night and I was reading the Bible and I had a glass of milk and the Bible. And I was drinking the milk and reading the Bible. And then all of a sudden, I looked at the Bible, I looked at the milk, and I said, what has happened to me? This is Friday night. And well, praise the Lord. You know, no one told me to do that. It's the enjoyment of the Lord. Separate yourself from worldly enjoyment and enjoy the Lord. Enjoy Him. And then separate yourself. The third thing is we have to be separated from rebellion, from all the rebellion in our nature. You know, brothers and sisters, I'll apply this here in a minute. You know, there's a lot of application you can use. But our nature is rebellious, right? Our flesh is rebellious against the Lord. And we realize that in our spirit wants to be one with the Lord. But our flesh and our fallen soul is against Christ, is antichrist. You see what I mean? Wants to rebel against Him. So we need to pray, Lord, head me up. Be my head. I don't, save me from rebellion. Be my head. Head me up. And saints, I want to say something in a practical way. When you're in the church life, always be one with the leading brothers. Amen. Always be one with the leading brothers. And you will be blessed. You will be under the Lord's headship. Always, always be one with the leading brothers. I'm telling you, this is a big, this is very, very, very important. Never be dissenting. Always fit into the church life. Always be one with what's going on in the church life. Whatever's going on in the church life where you are, you be one with that. You fit into that. You see? Then the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord always blesses the oneness. But if in your being you say, well, why are the brothers doing this? Why this? Why that? You see, you have to realize that's rebellion coming up within you. You see? You say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for those why this, why that. Just be one with the brothers. Just be one, and you will be blessed. You will be one with the church. Be one with the church. You think you might know more? Actually, you don't know more. You don't know more. Anyway. Be one with the church. Fit into the church. You have an all-fitting life in you that can fit anywhere, everywhere. So be separated from rebellion and be separated from death. That's the fourth thing. We need to be separated from death unto life. We need to pray, Lord, I like to be swallowed up by life. Save me from being dead, Lord. Save me from being dead, Lord.
Amen.
I like to be living.
Amen.
Separated from our natural man, from worldly pleasure, from rebellion, and from death. I like to be under your headship. I like to be swallowed up by life. Why do I have this kind of consecration? So that I can be blessed with the Spirit and so that I can bless others with the Spirit.
Amen.
There is nothing higher than this, to be blessed with the Spirit and to bless others with the Spirit. Okay, are we on B? Did I read B or? No, we're on B now, right? Okay, B. We can continually receive Christ as the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit for His growth in us as the seed of Abraham and for our enjoyment of Him as the land promised Abraham by the hearing of faith. We talked about this. To receive the Spirit, we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The measure of the Spirit that can be dispensed into our inward parts depends on the measure of our hearing. Our hearing. How much we hear, you see, it determines the measure of the Spirit that can be dispensed into us. Saints, many times the Lord is speaking. The Lord might be speaking in a meeting, and we believe that the Lord speaks in all the meetings of the church, meetings of the ministry. The Lord is so good to us, isn't He, that He would speak to us. And we need to even pray. Saints, this is a great prayer to pray this. I mean this. Lord, speak to me.
Amen.
Lord, speak to me.
Amen.
Let's say that together. Lord, speak to me. And then we pray, Lord, speak to us, right? Speak to us. Listen, the Lord speaking means everything to us. We need Him. Oh, we need Him to speak to us. We need Him to speak to us. Now, two says, we need to be one with Christ as the slave Savior by loving Him to the uttermost. We love Him to the uttermost and taking Him as our absolute consecration. Giving Him the way to open our ear to hear His divine instructions, His fresh messages, which dispense the divine Spirit into us for our service to God in our spirit in the gospel of His Son.
Amen.
Oh, you know, one thing I wanted to say before we come to this point. You know, saints, many times we're in a meeting or something and the Lord is speaking and we're inside, we're not stopped in our being. We have to put a stop to ourselves. Stop. Stop and listen. Stop. Stop your views. Stop your opinions, your ways of thinking. Sometimes the Lord speaking And we have a lot of opinions, we have a lot of words, we have a lot of concepts, we have a lot of, oh, I know that, oh, I heard that, oh, you know, oh yeah, the Lord's recovery, I know what the Lord's recovery is. You know, I'm so burdened for this point, the Lord's recovery, and our training. I told Ricky, I almost want to get some of the saints up there and say, okay, here, come up here. Tell us what the Lord's recovery is. What does that mean? What does that mean? None of these are just terms to us. They mean something. There's a lot behind them, you know. So when we're in our meeting, we need to put a stop to our being so that we can be replaced by Christ and hear His Word, right? You remember in Luke 10, Mary was going this way, going that way. She was busy, and she wasn't one with the Lord to hear the Lord's... I'm sorry, Martha, not Mary. Martha. And you remember Martha in John 11, oh my goodness, the Lord comes there, you know, to resurrect Lazarus. She said, Lord, if you were here, my Lazarus would have never died. In other words, she blamed the Lord. You know, you should have come here earlier. If you would have been here earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, oh, your brother will rise again. She goes, oh, I know he'll rise again in the last day. You know, she was teaching the Lord. You know, she's expounding the Word. She's full of all these opinions, all these views, all these concepts. So when it says Jesus wept, this is what He was weeping about. There's all these opinions, all these views He couldn't get through. And then she goes to Mary and she goes, the Master's calling you. And the Lord didn't say anything to call Mary. Can you imagine that? Where did she get that from? Mary, the Master is calling you. And He didn't say anything. Where did she get that from? I don't know. She was probably just, you know, we can be like that in a meeting. You know, oh, so-and-so said this. When that was never even said in the meeting. That was never even said. Sometimes there's speaking in a meeting, and then there's testifying, and then someone testifies, and it's on something that wasn't even spoken in the meeting. It wasn't even spoken. You see, that means our being is somewhere else. We have to put a stop to our being. Okay, we need to be one with Christ. This point here is really precious. You know, Christ, He's the slave Savior. And as the slave Savior, He allowed the Father to open His ear so that He could receive fresh messages from the Father. Well, if we're one with Him, we also will be like that. We will be slaves. We will say, I love Christ as my Master. I love, you know, the slave said, I love my Master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go out free. He wanted to stay with his master. So in the same way, we need to pray, Lord, I love you as my master. I love the saints. They're your children. And I love the church. I will not go out free. When we have that kind of consecration, then the Lord opens our ear to hear him. And we can receive his fresh messages. We can receive his fresh instructions. We can receive his new speaking. Isn't that wonderful? That's really, really wonderful. And Isaiah 50... And again, these are verses about Christ, but they apply to us. It says Christ is actually speaking this. And this is what... Saints, this is wonderful. I don't know if you ever realized that the Lord Jesus had Holy Word for morning revival. The Lord Jesus was revived by the Father every morning. I don't mean He had the book, Holy Word for morning revival. You know, but he did. He had a morning revival every morning because... Isaiah 50 verses 4 through 5 says, He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one. So, we need to be those who are awakened by the Lord morning by morning. In fact, brothers and sisters, do this. Before you go to bed tonight, say, Lord, wake me up in the morning. Don't you think that the Lord will do that? You say, wake me up in the morning, Lord. I need you. Don't trust in your strength to get up early. Trust in the Lord. Ask Him to waken you morning by morning so that you can hear His voice in the morning. All right, now we come to Roman numeral 4, Christ as the seed of David. This refers to the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit who carries out God's eternal economy by dispensing Himself into the members of His body so that they may reign in life to share His kingship as His co-kings. So He wants us to reign in life. And we reign in life When we reign in life, we are reigning. We're not reigning over our roommate. We're not reigning over people. We're reigning over Satan, sin, and death. This is what it means to reign in life. Now, look at A. This is a really deep and marvelous point here. It says, the Lord of David in His divinity. Now, wait, let me preface this by this. You know, in the book of Matthew, the Lord asked the Jewish religionists, the opposers, He asked them, He said, He asked them who Christ is. You know, whose son is He? And they said, well, He's the son of David. And so the Lord said to them, well, if He's the son of David, why did David in spirit call Him Lord? So He was referring back to Psalm 110, where David in spirit called Christ the Lord. The Jewish religionists, they said, well, He's the son of David, which He is the son of David. But what they didn't realize is, He's not only the son of David, He's the Lord of David. They said, why does David in spirit then call Him Lord? And from that point, they didn't test Him anymore after that. They said, no way. I mean, what He was saying is, I'm not just the son of David, I am the Lord of David. Can you imagine that? So the Lord of David was incarnated to become the son of David. Then, He's the root of David. Then He became the offspring of David. He became the son of David. Then in resurrection, He became the transfigured descendant of David. Then He got dispensed into us. And now He is in us, and He wants us to reign in life with Him. So this is what A says. A says, the Lord of David in His divinity, the root of David, was incarnated to become the son of David, the offspring of David in His humanity, to be the last Adam. So this is who the last Adam is. The last Adam is the offspring of David in His humanity. Now, what happened to the last Adam? The last Adam, who is the son of David, he was resurrected to become the firstborn son of God and the life-giving spirit, a transfigured descendant of David, dispensed into us to make us the many sons of God and co-kings of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. So now we are the many sons of God. We are the co-kings of Christ. So in Romans, you've got all these verses that show he's the offspring of David, and He's also the transfigured descendant of David, and He has come into us to make us the sons of God and the co-kings of Christ. You know, we've got these verses on here, Romans 8, 28 through 29. Where it says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then the next verse says that we are being conformed to the image of His Son. So, we are being conformed to the image of Christ, who is this one, who is the Son of David. He's a king. He's a king. And we're being conformed to His image, and that is happening through all things, all the things in our environment, all persons, all matters, all things are taking place to transform us into people who reign in life. Saints, listen, there is a concept out there that where it says all things work together for good. Okay, there's a concept out there like this. Okay, your car broke down, but all things work together for good because the car will get fixed. Or you have an old car and it crashes. All things work together for good. Oh, my insurance paid for the car. I got a new car. All things work together for good. No, that is not what this verse is saying here. Actually, the all things there is all persons, all matters, all things work together for good. What is the good there? The good is that we would be transformed. Amen. And the good is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Do you see this? So, all persons, all matters, all things are working together to transform us and conform us to the image of Christ. The image of Christ. It's too wonderful. Too wonderful. Okay, B. B says, the Lord of David became the Son of David to accomplish God's judicial redemption. Then the Son of David, the seed of David, became the firstborn Son of God as the life-giving Spirit, to carry out God's organic salvation. God's organic salvation. And by organic salvation, we mean it starts with regeneration. We're born again in our spirit. Then we're sanctified. That means we get God's holy nature dispensed into our being. Then we're renewed with God's holy being. Then we're transformed with His element. We're conformed to His image. Then eventually we're glorified with Him in our body. This is what we mean by organic salvation. Now one says, the Lord of David was incarnated to become the Son of David to reconcile us to God through His death. The Son of David was resurrected to become the firstborn Son of God as the life-giving Spirit to save us in His life.
Amen.
Wonderful. Saints, every day we need to pray, Lord, save me. Save me in Your life. Is there anyone in here that does not need to be saved? I need to be saved right now. Lord, save me in Your life, right? Every day we need this kind of salvation. We have eternal salvation, but we need to be saved in His life moment by moment and day by day. Now two, we are being saved in His life to be deified for the expression of God. And we are reigning in life by the abundance of grace in the church as the kingdom of God to be victorious for the dominion of God. So, now saints, when we say deified, we don't mean that we become the same as God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. We don't become objects of worship. It's just like if you put a tea bag in hot water, the water is teified, right? This is what we mean when we say deified. Christ has come into us as the divine tea bag. There's a lot of hot water in our environment, right? A lot of stirring. And then what happens? We get deified, which means we get Christified. We get more of Christ. This is what we mean when we use the term deified. Okay, now 3 says, such an organic salvation is in the body for the building up of the body in the local churches to consummate the New Jerusalem as the city of life and the ultimate consummation of God becoming man, that man might become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Again, I use the example of the tea. You know, the water becomes tea, right? But it doesn't become tea in the tea bag, right? The tea bag is the tea bag, right? So the tea is communicable, the tea bag is incommunicable. So it becomes tea in nature, in element, in flavor, and in essence, but not in the tea bag. In the same way, we are becoming the same as God in life and nature, but of course not in the Godhead. Of course, we don't become objects of worship. We worship Him. We adore Him. We love Him. He is our Lord. He is our head. He is our King. But He is also our Father. And we have His life and we have His nature, right? We have Christ as our life and we are partakers of the divine nature. Praise the Lord. It's amazing to me. Sometimes I see sons of brothers in the church life, and they'll stand up to share, and they sound just like their dad when they share. One of my sons, they tell me he's like that. They say, oh, when brother so-and-so shares, it sounds just like Ed. Of course, I don't pick it up, but other people pick it up. But anyway, where does that come? It comes from our genes, right? We have the genes of our father. Am I right? You know, my dad was a printer. He was a printer. And one time, I was working for Pennzoil Company, and they wanted me to take an aptitude test to see what I would be good at for the company. So I took this aptitude test, and I was just saved. So they said, what is your primary interest? I said, the Lord Jesus. You know what I mean? And I was just, you know, a lot of the answers were, you know, what's the center of your life? Christ. You know, what book do you love the most? The Bible. You know what I mean? I mean, I just was being honest, you know? And so I'm taking this aptitude test, I'm writing this. And you know what? They came back, they said, this man would be a good printer. Can you believe that? That was one of the things. There were two other things that I won't tell you were on there. There were two other things. But one of them was that I'd be a good printer. Can you believe that? Where did I get that from? I got that from my dad's genes, right? You see, so you have God's genes in you. You have the DNA of God in you. So if we allow Him to grow in us, all the things that we're talking about here come out of us and are expressed through us. Okay, see, the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the transfigured descendant of David, the seed of David, dispensed into us as God's sure mercies, His eternal covenant for our enjoyment. This is from Isaiah 55. In Acts 13:34, this is one, Paul interprets God's sure mercies as the holy things of David, the faithful things. And in Acts 13:33 and 35, he indicates that these things are the resurrected Christ Himself as the firstborn Son of God and as the Holy One. This is also confirmed by Isaiah 55:4, which reveals that the sure mercies are Christ Himself as the witness, the leader, and the commander to the peoples. Three, the resurrected Christ as the seed of David is God's sure mercy shown to David through His descendant Mary, the mother of Christ, for the dispensing of Himself into all His believers so that they may experience Him as the abundance of grace to reign in life over Satan, sin, and death. Saints, in Romans 5:17, it says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the abundance of the gift of righteousness, these ones shall reign in life. You know, saints, I just pray, and we need to pray, Lord, make me the best receiver. I like to be a person who receives the abundance of grace today. I just open my whole being to You. Keep me open to You all day long so I can receive the abundance of grace to reign in life. And what is grace? Grace is God in Christ as the Spirit for our enjoyment. Now, if you look in Isaiah 55, you know we've got these verses on here from Isaiah 55. And you know how you get grace? You get grace through the Word. And you know what the Word is in Isaiah 55? The Word is snow and rain. Maybe rain first, right? Rain and snow. Isn't that wonderful? When you see snow, you need to realize, oh, this is a picture of the Word as the Spirit, as grace, as mercy's coming to me. You see, the Lord says this. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And then He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. You see? And then He says, His Word is like rain and snow that comes down from the heaven to water us with grace. So saints, every day we need the rain of the Word and we need the snow of the Word. You know, snow kills all the bugs, right? Farmers like snow because snow kills all the bugs, all the negative things in the soil. So we need the Lord to rain on us and snow on us every day. That's one thing I miss about living in Southern California is the snow. I like the snow. But maybe on the East Coast, you don't care for the snow that much. but I miss the snow. Probably if I was here for 5 years, though, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be going, you know. But anyway, when you see snow, snow is a type of grace, a grace embodied in the Word of God. Now, 4 says, He is the mercies and blessings, the holy and faithful things that God gives to us as a great gift. The eternal covenant with all His unsearchable riches to be our all-inclusive grace. So everything that the Lord has done for us, everything that He is doing for us, everything that He will do for us is a great gift. And this is all embodied in the life-giving Spirit. And the life-giving Spirit is realized as the Word of God. Then we have 5. Look at this. Our Spirit is the bank account of all the bequests of the new covenant. By the law of the Spirit of life, all these bequests are dispensed into us and made real to us. How about that? You have a bank account. And you have the unsearchable riches of Christ in that bank account. And how do you appropriate these riches? It's by the law of the Spirit of life. And so it's by the law of the Spirit of life that all these bequests are dispensed into us and made real to us. Saints, those 15 points that I gave you, those are all ways to switch on the law of the Spirit of life. You see, this law has to be switched on in us. When this law is switched on spontaneously, all these riches in this bank account get dispensed into us. Isn't it wonderful? We have a bank account with all the unsearchable riches of Christ in our spirit. Now, if you had a bank account worth $1 billion, you would... I mean, just think if you had something worth... This was worth $1 billion, and someone just put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket. Don't you think you'd be walking around... You'd be like this, right? Wow. Wow. I've got $1 billion. And well, we have tons of billions of dollars of Christ in our spirit. But how can we enjoy that? It's by the law of the Spirit of life. We need to switch on this spontaneous law that dispenses all these riches into our being. And again, those 15 points I gave you, these are practical ways to switch on this law and enjoy these riches in this bank account. Okay, D says, the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the transfigured descendant of David, the seed of David, dispensed into us for us to share in His kingship, in His resurrection, in the eternal kingdom of God. And then E, the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the transfigured descendant of David, the seed of David, the seed of the kingdom, dispensed into us to make us the sons of the kingdom, reigning in life, to live in the reality of the kingdom, so that we may be translated by Him and return with Him in the manifestation of the kingdom as the corporate smiting stone to annihilate the kingdoms of this world and become a great mountain, the kingdom of God, that fills the whole earth. Wow, what a sentence. That is an amazing sentence, huh? So, we reign in life, we live in the reality of the kingdom, so that we may be translated by Him. That means, you know, Enoch, it says Enoch walked with God for 300 years, then it says he was walking with God, and then it says he was not. He was not, for God took him, you see. So, he enjoyed God as the one who is, and he was not. We all need to be nots, right? Not. He was not, for God took him. Then Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 says that he was translated, or he was transfigured. You see, all of a sudden, he was not. He's the first one that was raptured in the Bible. And so it's because he walked with God. He took God as his center, his life, his reality, and his everything for 300 years. And then he was translated. He was raptured. And so we need to be the same. And then we will return with Him as the corporate smiting stone to annihilate all the kingdoms of this world. And we together with Him will become a great mountain. That's the kingdom of God that fills the whole earth. Okay, Roman number 5. Finally it says, in order to enjoy and proclaim Christ as the threefold seed in humanity, we need to enter into the following charges to the believers. A, we must be... You know, before I come to these points, let me just mention one thing. Saints, if we're going to live in the reality of the kingdom of God, you know, we need to remember, well, let's see. Let me just put this verse on the board. I put this on here so you get this. You know, always remember this verse right here. This is the reality of living in the kingdom of God. Romans 14, 17. And it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. And how do we get in the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12, 3b says, no one can say, Lord Jesus, except where? In the Holy Spirit. So, when you call on the Lord, when you call on the Lord out of a pure heart, when you really call on Him, you enjoy Him as righteousness. Where? In the Holy Spirit. You enjoy Him as peace in the Holy Spirit, and you enjoy Him. He becomes your joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, saints, maintain your joy. Maintain your joy. If we don't have joy in the Holy Spirit, we are not in the reality of the kingdom. Joy is a big indicator of where we are. Do we have the joy? Where's our... One of the last things Brother Nee said in when he was writing letters out of prison, one of his last letters, he said, I've learned to maintain my joy. Saints, every day we need joy maintenance. Joy maintenance. And this comes again. Again, all those things that I share with you, I'm very burdened about in the first session. Calling on the Lord, pray reading the Word, loving the Lord. You know, see, I should have put that down. How about loving the Lord? How about saying, Lord Jesus, I love you? Waking up and saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I still love you. Lord Jesus, I'm tired, but I love you, Lord. Tell the Lord you love Him. Tell the Lord you love Him 100 times a day. 100 times a day will keep the devil away. You just try telling the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you 100 times today. See what happens to you. Do an experiment. See what happens. Lord Jesus, I love you. I'll even bring it down to 50 times. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I'll bring it down to 30 times. How about that? Can you say, Lord Jesus, I love you 30 times today? Before the meeting tonight? How about 20 times? I'm going to bring it down to 20 times. Does anybody have 15? No, 20. I'm bringing it down to... I'm 20 times. I really mean it. You see what happens. You see what happens. You be a different person. Look, okay. How about right now? Let's say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
You know, I'm looking around. I want to look around at your faces when you said, Lord Jesus, I love you. It is hard to say, Lord Jesus, I love you with a scowl on your face. It is everybody, Lord Jesus, I love you. I could see the smiles, the sweetness of the Lord's presence, you see. Tell the Lord that you love Him, you see. This is joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I'll read through these last points, then we'll have testimonies. We must be identified with Christ in His death, resurrection, and ascension, so that we can live in our spirit to be one spirit with Him. One spirit with Him. So we're identified with Him. We're one with Him in His death, in His resurrection, and in His ascension. Then B, we must receive God's constant and instant dispensing continually through unceasing prayer, not quenching the Spirit. And again, the way we pray unceasingly is to call on the Lord, right? Is to call Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, don't quench the Spirit. See, we must live in Christ's resurrection through His cross in our spirit to dispense Him into others for the sake of His body. So everything we do, we should do through the cross and by the Spirit to dispense Him into others for the sake of the body. Then D, we must overcome individualism, sectarianism, and the degradation of Christianity, and we must live the life of the body of Christ. Overcome all of these things. Then E, we must live Him as the pneumatic Christ by the bountiful supply of His Spirit, the supply of the body, for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, saints, make Philippians 1, 19 through 21 your prayer too. You know, Paul says, I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We should pray, Lord, fill me with the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that I can live you today for your magnification. I am on this earth to live you, and I'm on this earth to magnify you. So fill me with the bountiful supply of the Spirit. And this is for the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, then finally, F. How about we stand up and read F all together? We must be filled with the Spirit within and without, and we must live and walk according to the Spirit in our spirit for the advancement of the gospel of Christ as the threefold seed in humanity, the good news of the revelation of the entire Bible. Okay, very good. Now, we have a lot of time for sharing. A lot of time. So I'm happy about it. I'm looking forward to your sharing.